Now, you heard me right. When we think about missions, I think too often we think about somewhere off that's not America. You know America needs evangelized?
Yes.
You know we've murdered 61 million babies? There's a lot of people okay with that. We need evangelized. And they were talking about areas that don't even have churches. Now watch tonight. Didn't the people, now we take it for granted here because we do have so many people in the church that get involved in the music. But I want you to look at how many people came up here tonight and were involved in the music of this church. How many people we have that can play a piano? How many people we have that can sing? Play it. Didn't the instruments sound good tonight? And we sometimes take that for granted, what God has given us. There's churches that I've been able to go to and the Lord's allowed me to go in that have way more people than we have present tonight. And no one knows how to play a piano. It's not that they're not that good. They don't know how. Raise your hand tonight if you can play a piano. You don't play it well, but you can play a piano. Could you lift your hand up? One, two, three. You can play it. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. You're okay. Nine. So that we have nine people in here tonight that can play a piano. That's a big God. Raise your hand if you can play a bass guitar tonight. Would you just slip your hand up? That's one, two, three, four, five, six hands. That's a big God. Look what He's put here. He didn't have to do that. But He gave that to us. And I'm glad that when God does something, it don't touch. It's so much greater than what man does. I sat over there and I watched Charlie. Y'all didn't get to see it, but I got to watch Charlie's face while his family was up here singing. And that was better than listening to him singing. Y'all did a good job singing. I like watching people get in on it. And I'll tell you, and you may not believe me, but I got Bible for it. You know what? You know what's more enjoyable than getting saved? Now, don't shoot me, brethren. Leading somebody else to the Lord. If you've never experienced that, that's why you don't know. My Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you know, I became a witness of the Lord when I got saved because I met Him. I know whom I have. I don't know in. I know whom I... Jesus Christ is a very important... Will asked me, he said, Dada, who's preaching tonight? I said, boy, I sure hope Jesus does. He said, who's that? And I said, oh, you'll meet Him one day. And he said, is He in your phone? Can we call Him? I said, no, but we sure can call Him. Aren't you glad we got a God in heaven that cares about us? I want you to take your Brodmann hymnal, and I want to sing just the first verse of this together. You ain't got to stand or nothing, just page 198. You can if you want. Page 198 in the green book. And we're going to sing it slow, but I want you to think about right here, this song is why we're here. I'm glad that you're here. There's some people here tonight that I didn't know was going to be here, and you made my day by being here. I'm excited to see you. I'm glad that everybody's here. I don't know how many people's in the room tonight, but I'm glad to see you. But I didn't come to see you. I'm glad to see you, but I didn't come to see you. I came to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the, listen to this next part. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered on. All is right. Dear Lord, we come before you tonight thanking you, God, for an opportunity to come in your presence. And I pray that we never forget it. God, would you help us not to try to do it without you? God, would you help us to remember your why we're here? God, would you touch us tonight, give us what we need? God, would you help us as a church to go? Go forward. Go out to the highways and the hedges. God, go and do something for you. But God, understanding that in our own power, it's nothing. Without you, God, we're nothing. God, I love you, I thank you, and I pray you touch us tonight. It's in your name we pray. Amen. If you love the Lord tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Well, God's good, ain't he? I'm full up after last night. I'm telling you what, if you've never met Brother Stacy Piercy, I don't care where that man is or what he's doing, but I want to be around him. And that's because he knows who God is.
Amen.
Acts chapter 5, we worked through the book of Acts. We started preaching this about 21 messages ago. In Acts chapter 1, we preached with this thought, a new beginning. Acts is a transitional book. There are signs and wonders in the book of Acts, but I'm so glad, and I hope I get an amen here. I don't need signs anymore because I got Scripture. I got the whole Bible. Remember, when this is going on, they don't have the whole Bible. The whole Bible is not canonized and given to them. If you have your Bible tonight, would you lift it up? Just lift your Bible up. Well, I'm glad. Look at all them Bibles. Do you know these? This is God's Word. It's not just a book. These are the breathed words of God Himself. And see, they didn't have all that yet. So they had signs and wonders, and there's a transitional period into the church age, which we're living in today. But in the church age, it's been fulfilled. And you know how long the church is going to be here? Till Jesus comes back. That's how long the church is going to be here. And then He's going to take us on with Him. I ain't talking about a building. I ain't talking about people who show up 3 times a week. I'm talking about those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I hope that you're one of those tonight. And we work through the book of Acts, and we see that the Holy Ghost comes upon them, the Comforter. They're filled with Him. 3,000 souls are saved. Peter preaches. All kinds of miracles are happening. A lame man gets healed. And the brethren, boy, they get upset with that. They're not getting their glory anymore. And Jesus Christ is getting all the glory, as He should. No flesh should ever glory in His presence. He's why we're here tonight. Amen goes right there. I'm going to help y'all out tonight. Give you the Tony Hutz and tell you when to say amen. No, I'm kidding. Y'all okay tonight? Y'all kind of half asleep on me. Keith's going to pass out for us over with. About work to death today. Everybody okay? Don't get too excited. If you save, you're just going to live forever. You know, God's still on the throne tonight.
Amen.
And if it be of God, you can't stop it. You say, where do you get that text from? We come to Acts chapter 5. Beginning of this text, we started working through, and we saw over here that Ananias and Sapphira wanted something and want to pretend like they were something that they really weren't. And they may have fooled the people, but they didn't fool God. And we saw the apostles, boy, they had the real deal. If Peter even walked in his shadow, touched people, the Spirit of God was so close with him that people would be healed. And everyone that came and needed something from God got something. Aren't you glad if you're in a building tonight and you need something from God, you can get it?
Amen.
He's no respecter of persons. He said, let any man ask for wisdom and He'll give it to him in James chapter 1. He wants us to call upon Him. And that God was healing people then. Then they come to a point where the religious folk don't like it. And they throw them in prison. And they come back to get them that next morning and they're gone. I remember another time in Texas when they put someone inside of behind a tomb and put a big old rock in that place and come back 3 days later and he was gone. And I'm glad that Jesus Christ got up. This doesn't happen one time, and they didn't want it to get out real big. And one person walked up and said, yeah, them guys you're looking for, remember you arrest them for preaching in the temple? Yeah. Well, they're in the temple preaching again. So they go find them, but they didn't want to make a big deal about it because there were many people that believed on what they were doing. And they brought them before them and said, didn't we threaten you not to do this? Didn't we tell you it was wrong and it was not safe and it was not right to meet and assemble and preach? You hear me preaching? It was not okay to do what the Bible says to do. You must follow what we've told you to do. And they said, hey, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And I'm telling you tonight, as true as it was back then, it's true today. When man contradicts God, God's right. And if you're in the building tonight and you've read something in this Bible and you don't like it, it don't make God wrong. It makes you wrong. And we ought to obey God rather than any man. I don't care how good he was, how great he can preach, what all he's got on him. If I stand up behind this pulpit and preach something that's contrary to the Word of God, you ought to pick God over me. I mean that. And he said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And they started preaching to him and tell him about Jesus again. And look in verse 33, their reaction when they tell him about Jesus again. Verse 33 says, when they heard that, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Anybody in here ever been threatened to be killed over the gospel? Verse 34, then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, smart guy, had in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Gamaliel stands up and says, wait a minute. Don't kill him yet. Listen to me. Here's what he says. And said to them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, that's a name, Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain and all. As many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him. He was also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. And I can tell you right now, if your salvation's banking on a man, it's going to come to naught. If your religion's banking on a man, it's going to come to naught. That means there'll be an end. It will end one day. There will be a day. If your religion was based upon Jimmy Justice, he's in heaven now. It's come to naught. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And nobody, Jesus Christ is the only way. Look what he says next. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. But aren't you glad that when God saved you, he saved you? Aren't you glad? It don't matter what the devil says. It don't matter what a man does. When Jesus does something, it's eternal. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Do you know how you're going to see them lost people we was praying for that are saved? You can't cease preaching Jesus Christ. You can't cease teaching Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's only one way. I want to look at a few things here. I want to think of a verse of scripture that was mentioned to me when I was in my ordination service. We were in that room over there, which is the adult Sunday school class. I know y'all have moved into the fellowship hall, but I think you'll know what I mean when I say that. That room we were in there, and those men of God were in there, and they were talking to me and asking me questions and really just giving me support and letting me know that, hey, we support your ministry, we're behind your ministry. God already ordained you. Here's our stamp of approval that we believe that God did that. And Preacher Roy Waldrop, some of y'all know him in here. He's not a man of many words. He doesn't speak up. He's not very loud. But he quoted this verse in Psalms 127:1, a song of degrees for Solomon, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." I want to be clear tonight that if God does not do it, it won't make it. I don't care what religion you've got, what good works you've put into something. If God does not start it, you can't finish it. 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I'm so very glad that I don't have to lay a foundation. I just got to stand on it. Jesus Christ said from the cross, "It is finished." The work was done. He said, if you'll stand on that foundation that is laid, there is no other foundation to stand upon. I see three things going on in this text. First, I see the rejection of the brethren. Look at verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. What's going on here is they have rejected the preaching of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 30. And well, look at verse 29, I guess. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and the Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." They looked at this and they said, "We don't need your Jesus. We've got all that we need." And I can tell you tonight, maybe you're sitting here and you think, "I've got all that I need. I've got money, I've got health, I've got a family. I don't need your Jesus." And I will tell you, your money, your health, and your family will not get you into heaven. Your money, your health, and your family will not always be. There's one thing we need to be concerned of. No, you cannot trust your government after 2020. You can't even feel safe out in public in 2020. We're all having to be masked up and don't know what's going on. There's no consistency. Everything's falling apart. But I got real good news. There's only one thing that you can stand on that's a foundation that's already been laid. And if you want some consistency in your life, you're going to need to get Jesus Christ our Lord in your heart. They're rejecting Jesus. The Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." When you reject Jesus Christ, you reject the truth. John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And they were preaching what thus saith the Lord. Jesus had told them. He said, "This is going to happen." We'll deal with that later on. He let them know that there were going to be men that were going to raise themselves up. And in today's day and time, we've got spiritual pretenders. We've got people who claim to have the power of God on them. Everyone who prophesied that Donald Trump would be the next president, the book of Deuteronomy tells me real fast, they're not a prophet. Because to be a prophet of God, you never prophesy incorrectly. And they missed it, and they stood up and act like they were somebody else, when in reality, what they ought to have been saying was, my vote's not for who's in the White House, my vote's for who's in my heart. And Jesus Christ is who my faith is in, and he gave them a warning that this was coming. And what the Pharisees had done is they had rejected the truth. And if you're here tonight, and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you know what you're doing. Rejecting the truth. God himself, the Word of God. They had more faith in their works than they did in a touch from above. Not only did they reject Jesus Christ, but they also rejected the necessity of the Holy Spirit we just sang about. And let me be clear, without the Holy Spirit tonight, everything's vain. Look at verse 32. "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. All is vain unless the Spirit, the Holy One, come down." Now you got to realize they were rejecting the fact that the Holy Ghost could get the job done. They wanted to say, "My education, my name, my bloodline, my own ability is why I am what I am." They already said in Acts 4:13 that these were unlearned and ignorant men. Look over at Acts 4 with me, if you would, real quick. 4:13. "They had come, they found them, they brought them before them, and they didn't like what they were doing. And they called upon them and said, 'By what name are you doing this?' And once Peter answered and called them out in only a way that he would." In verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They understood and said, "There's something different about that person." And I can tell you tonight, I said last week, something changed the moment you got saved. The works you were doing, if you were saved as a young child in a Christian home, may not have changed. You may have continued to be faithful to the house of God. You may have continued to be in devotions. But the difference was you were faithful to the house of God with God living inside your heart. You were doing devotions faithfully with God living inside of your heart. Something will change, and there's an ability you gain with the Holy Ghost living inside you do not have on your own. And these men rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. They rejected the necessity of Jesus to be the centerpiece of what they were doing. I see also in verse 34 the realization. Look at Gamaliel. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel. Now look at his credentials. A doctor of the law. He had a doctorate degree. He was educated. He knew what he was doing. See, Acts tells us in chapter 22, verse 3, this is Paul speaking. I'm barely a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. Saul himself was taught at the feet of this man. He was highly educated. He was very smart. Look what else it says about him. Had in reputation among all the people. People saw him as highly, thought he was really smart. He knew what he was doing. Look what he says to him. And commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And said to them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting who? Himself. Now, that was not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's be clear, Jesus' gospel was not boasting of self either. It was of his Father. He said, I'm my Father in one. He said, but you have nothing unless my Father, which art in heaven, gives it to you. He had a gospel that was preached. And Theudas was boasting himself. And while I'm right here, if you find a preacher who's boasting himself in today's day and time, he ain't boasting Jesus. And when you see that, you ought to run from it. It want nothing to do with it. I stand before you tonight, a vessel, a sinner, saved by grace. If you follow me, you're not going to make it to heaven. You got to follow the Lord. You need Jesus. You need the Bible. You need everything he can get. I can't help you with your aches and pains, but there is a God in heaven who's able to be touched by the feeling of your infirmities. Theudas was boasting himself to be somebody to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves. Boy, he had a big old congregation, didn't he? He had a big old church. Everybody's falling right behind him. It looked like it was something else. But guess what? Look what happens next. Who was slain. And all, as many obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. I see two things and two examples here. There are two things that ain't going to get it done. Number one, a reputation. So what do you mean? Look right here what it says about Gamaliel. Had in reputation among all the people. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 if you would. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the one that died on the cross for mine and your sin and loves you and hears your prayer right now? This is what the Bible says about Jesus. When you find any place, say amen. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of, what are the next two words? No reputation. Jesus did not come down here looking for me, my. And in your work with the Lord, you shouldn't be looking for me, my. Let me tell you when you can get something done with God. And I want to be a help to you tonight, so I hope this is real. When you can get something done with God is when you don't care who gets the credit. When God can use you is when you desire to see souls saved more than people to see you in a ministry. Raise your hand if you're breathing tonight. By breathing, you have a ministry. And there's somebody for you to minister, to serve the Lord to. And we are all commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. There are things that God's given us to do. And when God can start using you is when you don't care about how many likes you have on Facebook. When you don't care about having 400 followers, you care about seeing sinners saved by the grace of God. I'm not in here counting people tonight, and I'm not here worried about how many we put inside these pews. I'm real worried about how many people sit inside here tonight, send outside that door and go do something with the Word of God. And we should be concerned with the things of God, not with our own reputation. And when you want to be used by God is when you don't care who's the face of the outfit. It's when you care who's getting the glory in the outfit, and that better be Jesus Christ. but made himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, there's one thing that people divide this text up right here in multiple ways, but I want you to go back with me and read verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now that's preached a lot of times like that's the ending verse of the first 5 verses. But y'all believe the Word of God's perfect? The punctuation's perfect. You see a period at the end of that? No, there's more after it that needs to be continued. And he said this mind that's in you is the mind of not caring if you have a reputation. Notice it does not say not caring about your testimony. There's a difference. But it's not caring if you have some great following and some great people thinking you have a mighty reputation among the people of the world. It's being concerned of putting on the form of a servant and being willing to humble yourself unto the death, even the death of the cross. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He wants us to have this mind, this desire within us. And notice that's not saying literally physically laying your body down on a cross. It is let this mind be in you. We must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Mental health is a real thing. You'll never hear me say that it's not. It's dealt with way too much in Scripture. The problem is they want to give you a pill. They don't want to give you the answer to your problem, which is Jesus and His Word. And He said, let this mind be in you. When you take the form of a servant, you humble yourself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Look at verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. There's going to be a day Thutis is going to get down on that knee. He was the Lord. There's going to be a day that those Sadducees and those Pharisees, leaders of the temple who just beat, and you'll see in verse 40, beat them, going to get down on their knees, said, Jesus Christ is the Lord. And there's going to be a day when you get down on your knee and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I'm going to get to do it again, but I've already done it one time when He saved me. And I admitted in my heart that Jesus is the solution. It's not my reputation. It's not what people think of me. It's what everybody sees in me that comes from Him. There's nothing good inside of me that comes from me. The only thing in me that's worth anything comes from Him. It's not my reputation. I must walk honestly with myself and realize that my righteousness is what? Filthy rags, but I'm so glad that He took my sin upon Him and in exchange gave me His righteousness. So reputation, it's not going to get the job done. We've got enough fake going on. We need the real thing. Something else going on. Look back at our text with me if you would. Look at verse 37. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee. In the days of the taxing. Somebody help me. What else was going on in them days of taxing? Y'all remember when Caesar Augustus said all the world should be taxed? What else is going on at this point in time? Jesus is born. Now notice what else it says in Matthew 2:23. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. You know where Nazareth was? Galilee. Every time that God's doing something, the devil's got a counterfeit. Be ready for that. But you can be of good cheer tonight to know that if it's of a man, it'll come to naught. But if it be of God, you can't overthrow it. So reputation's not going to get done, but also resemblance is not going to get it done. We have enough God-like and we have enough God-ish things going on in the world today. We need some things that are of God in our life. Hey, in the churches, we have enough God-like and God-ish things going on. David Gibbs was preaching, talking about getting clean. And he said, I've went to the altar enough times to go get cleaner. I need to go to the altar to get clean. We've had enough things that are God-ish and God-like. We need some things that are of God. We don't need spiritual pretenders. We don't need fakes. We don't need you to walk. I'm telling you, if you'll ever get a hold of this and you'll say, I'm going to sell out to God. I'm not going to resemble a Christian. I'm not going to look as if I had been born again. I'm going to be born again. I'm not going to look as if I had should have been a witness. I'm going to be a witness of Him. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. There are things that you become. We have enough God-like and God-ish. We need some things that are of God. Jesus warned of this false doctrine. He told that this would come. He warned His disciples that these things would come. Look at Matthew chapter 24 with me. Turn over there. Keep your place in Acts 5. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 verse 3 says, and as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of Thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. These are the words of Jesus Christ Himself. And just so you know, the book of John said if everything He did while He was here was to be written down, the whole world couldn't contain it. God thought it was important that you and I tonight hear these words. So listen to them with the aspect that Jesus Christ thought that Nathan needs to hear this tonight. Jesus Christ said Mark needs to hear this. Jesus Christ said Aaron needs to know this. Look at verse 4. And Jesus answered to them, take heed. That means some caution. That no man deceive you. For many shall come in My name saying, I am Christ. And shall deceive. How many? Many. And there's a whole lot of people on the earth right now that are being deceived by teachers who are tickling their ears and rubbing them on the back and telling them that they're okay and they're good to go. And I'm not here to pat you on the back tonight, but I am here to help you hold your arms up. I'm here to support you. I'm not here to cut you down. I'm here to help you lift up and stand up. I want to exhort you. That's what I'm commanded to do. And by doing so, I'm telling you, you need to take heed because there's some false doctrine going on out there. Look over here at verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You know what that says? If it were possible, they deceive the ones that are saved. I'm so very glad that once I got the real thing, I know the counterfeit. My papa would say it this way, you don't stutter counterfeit money to know the fake thing. You would study the real thing so you'd see the fake thing. And Jesus' word says, be not deceived when this happens. Because they're going to come and say there's something that they're really, really not. It also tells us in 2 John, flip over there with me if you would. 2 John. Right before 3 John, right before Jude, right before Revelation, 2 John, it's one chapter. Not only did he warn them this was going to happen, and not only did he write it down for me and you to have warning that this was coming, but also he dealt with in Scripture of how to handle it when this happens. Look at the book of 2 John. You find a place to say amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. Notice he says, if they're in any other doctrine than Jesus Christ, I mean, if it's Muhammad, if it's only there's one God, if it's Buddha, if it's anything that's not the doctrine of Jesus Christ, hath not God. He hath abideth in the doctrine of Christ. He hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. There is a such thing in the Bible, and I'm not going to take time to do it tonight for sake of time, but there's such thing that is separation. You're not better than somebody else. Do you know what? I am an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist, and that makes me better than nobody. I'm saved tonight. That makes me better than nobody. I'm better off because I got a hope. I got a lively hope. I got Jesus Christ living inside of my heart. But this thought that calls I have something, I'm better, is what the problem is in Acts chapter 5. The Sadducees think, because of my position, I'm better. Thutis thought, I'm somebody. I got a reputation. Let me boast myself. And got 400 people following me. But he didn't have Jesus Christ. The next man comes on the scene and he says, I'm from the right town. I'm around the right time. I got everything going my way. But they did not have the one thing that will make you get in the way and the truth and the life, and that's Jesus Christ. So I see, first off, the rejection. I see the realization. I see two things that won't get the job done. That's reputation and resemblance. And then lastly, I see the reaction. Go back to Acts chapter 5 with me, and I'm done. Verse 39, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. You should underline that in your Bible, and you should believe that with everything inside your heart. Because if God starts something, you can't stop it. Lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. So I said, you're right. I agree with what you're saying. We should let them go. But look at what they do to them. And when they called the apostles and beaten them. I want to deal with this a little bit in text. This is the first time recorded in the church days that somebody is truly afflicted for the gospel's sake. Now, they've been arrested at one point in time, but they weren't beaten. They were beaten here. You say, why did this happen? Beaten was a normal punishment under the law. Deuteronomy 25:1, if there be a controversy between men and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. Verse 2, and it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten. So it's telling me here in this text, they believe these men are still wicked men. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number. Verse 3, 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. They could have been beaten 40 times. For this, Paul states in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Paul said, five different times for the gospel's sake, I got 39 whippings, lashes, scourgings, beatings. That is 195 times he was beaten for the gospel. And the gospel's still living on today. Because if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. It may not be popular to be of God, but it sure is profitable. It may not be popular to be biblical, but it sure is profitable. People may want to go another way and may want to add something. And I'm nothing wrong with moving forwards. I support. There are men of God that have great followings and great ministries. But that's because they understand that they're not following them. They're following Him. And He's just the under-shepherd. There's nothing wrong with moving forwards and updating and doing things. There was once a time this church was in a storefront. It was in a little building. And they built that building over there. And they outgrew that. And they built the building over here. And Lord willing, if I get the prayer I'm praying, we're going to build a new one outside of this one. Because we're going to outgrow it. You know why? Because if it be of God, you can't stop it. You can beat it all you want. You can be against it all you want. You can say all you want about it, but you cannot stop it. I got good news. If you're saved tonight, they can't stop it. If you tell somebody about Jesus and you mean it within your heart, it can't be stopped. My Bible says anything you do in His name, anything you do in His name will not return void. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Every word in your Bible is profitable for the things of God. And then look here lastly, they were beaten. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Look at their reaction. Now I see the reaction here of the lost folk who still don't believe in Jesus Christ. Believing in God will not get you to heaven. The Bible says the devils believe that there's one God and tremble. And we know the devil ain't headed to heaven. Revelation tells me his ending. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at the reaction of the apostles in verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Now how many people, please don't answer me, but think inside your head. If they came through that back door tonight and you wouldn't reject Jesus Christ and they beat you, threatened you and your family, and then threw you out there in a parking lot, well, go home rejoicing. Think about that. This really happened. They were beaten and threatened and threw out, and they left rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. You say, why were they so excited? Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Now we just read in Deuteronomy that they came to the decision, these men right here were wicked and deserving of being beaten. I don't think the men of God, did anybody here believe that Peter was wicked for preaching Jesus? It was false against them. Verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Hey, being of God is not popular, but it's very profitable. And God said, rejoice when you come up against confrontation. Brother Doug Rain said last night, he said, whatever the devil's against, I'm for it. Whatever he's fighting, I'm for it. Whatever God is for, I'm for it. I want Jesus to get every ounce of the glory because He's the only one worthy of every ounce of the glory. If it be of God, you cannot stop it. But if it's of man, it will come to naught. Let me ask you tonight, is your salvation of man? Did a man give you a prayer to pray and you repeat it and you think you're good? That's a sincere question. Did you come to a point where he said, if you'll just say this, God will save you? Do you know that's not in my Bible? It's nowhere in there. I'll be glad to go through. It's not in there. He said, thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, man has to believe with his heart. Maybe you're in here tonight and the thing you're hanging on to for your eternal destiny comes from a man. You know what's going to happen to it? It's going to come to naught. But if it be of God. You know, this church, if we try to do anything on our own power, it's going to come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. I've been in this church all my life. I do not know being a member at another church. Been here all my life. Most of you in here have known me all of my life. And I'm here to tell you that if we don't build this church and build everything we do on Him, it's going to come to naught. But if it be of God, you can't stop it. I'm glad that no matter what anybody does to me, I don't lose my salvation. You know why? It's of God. I'm so glad that no matter what happens to me, the love of Jesus is still on me. You know why? Because it's of God. Let me ask you, is there anything in your life that's of God? Did you come here tonight to worship our Lord and King? Or did you come here just because it's what you felt like you needed to do? If you're not living a life for Him, you're not living a life worth living. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. God, I pray you take this text and help us with it. God, I pray you bless this church for your glory. I pray, Lord, you help each and every single one of us just to do what you want for us to do. God, I love you. I thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.